All right, that was Murphy's Law with, let me turn that down. That was not good. That was Murphy's Law with Quest for Herb, and we kicked it off with some good old House of Pain with Top of the Morning to you. Of course, Murphy's Law will be playing here April 1st, and I'm here with one of the bands that will be playing with them, Violent Convictions. Hey guys, how you guys doing?
Hey, how's it going?
You want to go around and introduce yourself? We can start with Tom over there.
Sure. I'm Tom, and I wouldn't call myself a singer, but I do vocals and scream stuff pretty loud, move around a little bit.
I'm Steve. I play guitar, and I also jump around and scream a little bit.
All right. Of course, missing from tonight is, of course, Nacho.
Yep, Nacho. He was going to be here, but he had some car trouble. So let's give Nacho a shout out. We miss you, buddy. Wish you were here.
Yeah, man.
And of course, Corey.
Yeah, Corey. Corey's a little under the weather. I think everybody's been sick here lately, myself included.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of different stuff going around. So be careful out there, guys. There's RSV, the flu. Probably COVID still. COVID's, I don't need a new strain of it. Who knows? And
yeah,
I know
actually,
there's a stomach flu too going around.
Well, I know that Ricky, who is another member that's not here, which it's Ricky Steele, world famous Ricky Steele.
At least around here, he's definitely famous.
Yeah. And he said he just got over COVID like last week too. So,
man, yeah, it's getting a lot of us. One of the things I have tonight, actually, I'll wait and talk about that. So tell me about how this show came together. Cause it is the dream show. Cause I mean, for one, Agnostic Front is coming to West Virginia.
Yeah. And especially the Charleston area of West Virginia. I know that they've played West Virginia, at least three times to my knowledge, but I don't think anywhere closer than Huntington. And I could be mistaken about that, but that's what I understand. I know they played at
1-2-3, I would say.
Played at 1-2-3. And I think they played there fairly recently, even like it was last year, the year before, maybe. I guess it was 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago because I wanted to go, but I couldn't because my beautiful wife, Cohen, just had our baby. So, or was about to have our baby. So I couldn't make that one. But yeah, it's kind of. I don't want to toot my own horn or anything, but
it was all Tom.
I mean, I'll take some credit. Yeah, I happen to notice that they released the tour dates, and the show the night before is in Memphis, and the show the night after is in Virginia Beach, and I was like, man, we're like right in the middle of that, and they had an open day, and it was, you know, to be determined. So, I'm friends with Craig, one of the guitar players, on social media, and I hit him up and I said, hey, who's your booking agent? And he gave me the name and I reached out, didn't hear anything, reached out again, didn't hear anything, like scrounged around on the internet for an email address, actually, rather than like a, you know, socials or a website form submission. And I shot the email and third time's a charm. And you know, it's a whole tour package. You know, of course, it's Agnostic Front, Murphy's Law, and Violent Way. And, you know, it's going to be an incredible show. And originally, they didn't really want to have any local support just because, you know, it's already a three-band mm-hmm. package, you know. And, you know, I might have groveled a little bit. and originally, I was trying to get, you know, not just us, but, you know, at least one other local on the bill too. And they kind of agreed to at least allow us to play. And I was like, all right, well, I can't really push my luck too much more than that. But it was, you know, it's definitely like, you know, for us, we all grew up listening to those guys and they've all been a huge inspiration to us, you know, from basically childhood. You know, I mean, Agnostic Front started in, I think, 1980. Which is 3 years before I was born even. And, you know, they've always just been a huge inspiration to us. And it's like a definite bucket list show. And, you know, I don't want to put anybody on blast or anything, but, you know, when I told Corey what I was trying to do, of course he let on how stoked he was, but, his wife kind of messaged us later and told us just how emotional he got about it, the prospect of it, you know? And, you know, of course, when I heard that, I was like, well, I'm going to have to really give it my all. And fortunately it worked out. And, you know, I hope everybody can make it out. I know it's on a Tuesday. I know it's kind of early. It's a school night and everything. But, man, you know, these guys are literally the godfathers of hardcore. And, you know, they're not going to be around forever. And this is a band that you'll be telling your grandkids that you got to see them, you know, in your own town once upon a time. And it's just a once-in-a-lifetime show you really don't want to miss out on. And, you know, I'd like to keep doing stuff like this, but, you know, I'm backing it myself. So if I lose a bunch of money, I may not be able to continue to do stuff like this. So if you can get out, and I'm not trying to make any money on the show. I've pretty much reconciled the fact that I'm going to lose money on it, but it's worth it to me to, you know, support the scene and get some notable bands to the area. So, you know, if you can make it out and see a great show and hopefully keep me from losing too much money on it, that would be awesome.
I don't think people realize how many local promoters there are too that do it because they love the music. They want to, you know, they get the artists that, you know, they grew up with, or they, you know, they love, or, you know, they have a passion for it. Herman Hollywood down in the, I don't know if he still books, but he was booking, The Loud and stuff. And, you know, he got some killer names, but he did that himself. Like, he did that for the love of the music and the love of the events. Like, he was at every event that I ever went to that he booked.
Sure. And, you know, that's the thing is promoters oftentimes get a bad rap, and don't get me wrong, there's scummy people, mm-hmm. you know, all over the place. But, you know, as far as the promoters in this area, I don't know of anyone that does it for money, mm-mm. you know, and that's not to say that they don't sometimes make money. But I think if you look at, you know, the grand scheme of things, you'd find that most of them have actually lost more money than they've made on basically anything that they've done, just because they're not doing it for money. They're doing it to support the local scene and give back to, you know, something that they love and has always meant a big part of their life. You know, people like, you know, D&D when they were booking shows at the Bakery, you know, and then later on, out at the V Club, which is now the Loud, you know, those guys never really made money on their shows, you know, and they've certainly lost more than they made. And they never did it for money. You know what I mean? They did it for the love of the scene and for the music. And, you know, I know Dwayne himself has told me, you know, hardcore saved his life. He, you know, he said, even at the time he said, you know, I know it's cliche, but it's true. And I think it's true of a lot of people.
Yes.
You know, and, people want to give back to that, and that's why they do what they do. It's not because, you know, if you're trying to make money, there's a whole lot of ways you could make a whole lot more money a whole lot easier. So.
Yeah, because I mean, mostly their goal is pretty much just to break even.
Yeah,
like if they can break even, that's a win.
Absolutely.
So
and bless those people, you know, because then we get to see all this good music.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the metal. Like the larger metal acts that you see at these local bars and these smaller venues, it's a promoter that's probably gotten it there. And that's one thing I love about like the hardcore, the metal, like the hard, I guess, I don't know how to explain it. The harder, heavier music is because it did change a lot of people's lives and it did kind of save their lives because they poured themselves into the music. But they also have such a love for it, and that's why they're so passionate about it and do this stuff. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, and you know, especially in the hardcore scene, there's a lot of like community there, you know, and there is in metal too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's all about, you know, and not to get too philosophical about it, but it's really a tribal thing, you know what I mean? And that's where people fit in, and that's what they want to give back to. You know, and the way that you give back to it is you go to shows, you start bands, you book bands, you know, you help build the scene. And I think especially over the last probably 10 years, seems like we've had a great resurgence of that. And you see a lot of that, especially in Huntington now too.
Yes.
The Huntington Music Collective.
Yes,
those
I saw that.
Really doing some great things.
I was really happy that they were getting the support of the community. Because, of course, you and I both know that we had one here in Charleston. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we didn't necessarily have the support that we needed. And, you know, it went by the wayside, unfortunately. But
For now.
I love seeing that pop up. And I love when people who are passionate. I mean, that's why I do what I do. You know, I bring the music that I'm passionate about to you guys. Like I said, I have a soft spot for metal, for pretty much any kind of heavy, hardcore, punk, you know, all that.
Wait
the loud,
you mean you don't
the
make
loud
six
noise.
Figures doing this right now?
No, actually, I've probably lost more money because I am an unpaid volunteer, as we all here are at WTSQ. That is one thing I love about this radio station, is because we are all passionate about the music that we all play. Me, especially with metal. It's definitely a passion for all of us. We're going to get to some underwriting spots, which helps keep us on the air and letting us do what we do. And we thank you guys. These are some spots from our underwriters. And then we will hear a song from Cat Bite called Die in Denver, and they are out of Pennsylvania. So I hope you guys enjoy. All right. That was Agnostic Front with Antisocial. Trying to unmute all the mics I've got here, because, of course, I still have my guests here with me. We also had Billy Bio with Rise and Slay. We had The Barbarians of California with Mr. Microphone. That is off the recently released album, And Now I'm Gnashing My Teeth. We also had a cover of Snap Your Fingers, Snap Your Neck, of course, originally by Prong. This one was done by Soil. And we start off with Cat Bite, Die in Denver. And that Snap Your Fingers, Snap Your Neck, played that because it is 31 years since the release of that album, which was Cleansing. And Prong is actually doing a concert or a tour for the 31 year of Cleansing. So their 31 year celebration of Cleansing. Anyway, I'm Jamie Lee. This is Radio Smut. And we got Tom and Steve. See, I told you I'd remember it eventually. I just had to think of his last name to remember your first name. So, and of course, Agnostic Front is going to be playing on April 1st. And I kept wanting to think it was a joke. I was like, are they trying to play a joke
it's
on
no
me?
Joke, I promise.
Because it's on April Fool's Day. I was like, man.
You're a fool if you don't go.
You are a fool if you don't go, because that is definitely going to be a great show. I do plan to be there, and we're working on some things here on Radio Smut to possibly bring you some more content regarding that show. We will see, but it is in the works. So, but you all also had a recent live EP release on February 14th.
Yeah, it was a Valentine's Day present. You're welcome.
Yes, and definitely thank you. And of course, it was recorded at The Empty Glass here in Charleston, West Virginia. And it was recorded July 20th, 2024.
Wow. It's like you have notes over there or something.
It's like I can read the next song coming up that says it was live 7/20/24 at The Empty Glass.
Yeah, that was actually like a really great show. And, it just so happens that the sound man that night, Logan Gamble, mm-hmm. Who runs Here Studios, if you ever need anything done, hit him up. He was phenomenal to work with. And like, honestly, like way too inexpensive. That dude should be charging probably 3 or 4 times what he does. And, he does it to support local music. So, mm-hmm. You know, if you guys need anything, he like put together this killer lyric video for us too. I think for actually the song you're about to play. So if you want to see the lyric video, you can go to our YouTube channel. It's at Violent Convictions and see it. And if you need anything done, hit up Logan Gamble from Here Studios. And, can't do anything that's awesome in Charleston without having played The Empty Glass too. So.
Yes.
Let's hear it for The Empty Glass.
Yeah, that is a Charleston staple. That is a beautiful venue. I always enjoyed taking photos there because of that mosaic wall behind. Because when you edit the photos, you can really play with the lines and the colors and all kinds of stuff. Like it is a beautiful, beautiful wall.
You know, it's funny. Corey, our other guitarist, he refers to it as West Virginia CBGBs.
It is.
It is. Yeah, I could see it. Yeah, we were talking about. I stopped by the Parrot to say hello to the guys in Tears of Olympus, and we were talking about Dingbats in New Jersey, which is probably that's their CBGBs, because we were trying to explain to Matt from the band what Dingbats was like, and I'm like, well, it's kind of like their CBGBs, like it's probably not going anywhere, like that's going to be a staple forever.
Sure.
So yeah, the Empty Glass is definitely, because of course we've lost a lot of our places, the Sound Factory. Mm-hmm. I mean, just I don't. There's so many. The Monkey Bar was probably the best. I remember going and seeing. I think Gwar even played down there at one point. I know Chums played down there. There's been so many bands that used to play here, and we just lost a lot of the venues, and that's why it's so important to have like the promoters and stuff here that are willing to do it for the love of the music.
Yeah, which by the way, that show on April 1st is going to be at the Shop in Dunbar,
mm-hmm.
which can't say anything about the Shop without bringing up Larry. Larry Dorsey, he's a great guy, and he honestly, it was at originally his behest that I try to make something like that happen there. So, you know, and that's if you guys have never been there, that place is awesome. It's got one of the best sound systems in the area. And
great venue.
Yeah, yep. All the production, the lighting, everything is top notch. So.
Yep. Yeah, I've been there, and it is an amazing venue. It's not, you know, massive, but it kind of gives you that intimate, like smaller venue. But yeah, it is amazing though.
Yeah, and that's honestly like another great reason why you should go to that show. And I know you guys are probably already sick of hearing me say it, but this is probably one of the smallest venues that they're probably going to play on this tour.
Yep.
And, man, if you want to see Agnostic Front and Murphy's Law up close and personal, this is a rare opportunity to do so.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, and like I said, I know I will be there. And right now though, we're going to go ahead and get back to the music, cause I want everybody to hear the song. And I have played it before. It is Warbringer by Violent Convictions, recorded live at the Empty Glass on July 20th, 2024. So I hope you enjoy. All right, that was Power Flow with War Machine. That is off their album Guerrilla Warfare. We had Body Count with F What You Heard off of their album Merciless. It was released last year. And of course, we started off with Violent Convictions and their live recording of Warbringer, recorded at the Empty Glass right here in Charleston, West Virginia, that was just released on February 14th. And I still have Tom and Steve here to talk about some other cool stuff, because I heard that you may be working on an album.
We are, actually. You know, we started recording last year with Marcus Gibbs at Bohemian Grounds in St. Albans. And we're in the process of getting it mixed and mastered right now. We've got Joey Cusack from he's from a metallic hardcore band from up in New York. It's a pretty big band. It's called Cropsey. Some of you might have heard of it before, but the name of his studio up there is Amplitude, and they're based out of New York City. So he's going to mix and master that for us. And as soon as we get that back, we're going to see about getting it pressed on CD and vinyl.
And, of course, get some digitals over to your girl here she can put them on there.
Absolutely. And then, you know, ironically, what's kind of cool, there's an artist. He's a great artist. He's out of Australia. His name's Mick Lambrow. And he does a lot of art for a lot of different hardcore bands from all over the world, including Agnostic Front. And I actually commissioned him to do the album cover last year, way before we ever even thought of doing the show. And ironically, he did the show poster. So,
that's awesome.
That was a nice little full circle call back, I thought.
Definitely.
But the full length is going to be called By My Hand, and the title track on that album, I wrote the lyrics for that after a good friend of mine overdosed on heroin. And it's a sad story that we hear in Appalachia over and over and over and over and over again. And, you know, it's one of the most frustrating things in the world. And I'm sure most of your listeners and everybody in the room knows someone that was near and dear to them that lost their lives because of their vices and their addictions. And that's, you know, that's what the song is about, is, you know, trying to process those emotions and you know, what you'd want to do to the person that sold the person you love the drugs that killed him.
Yeah, that's one thing I actually thought was really good. And I think there's even, they've been trying to get more bills passed. But for the people, especially because on top of like the heroin and opioids and all that stuff, a lot of stuff is getting laced with fentanyl now, which is just in that whole long line of that era or that area of drugs. And there are bills that, for one, like if you see somebody OD and you don't take them to the emergency room or call 911, you can actually be held responsible should something happen to them, should they not survive it. And there are other things. I think even if the people who sell them, if they find the people who sold that was that caused an overdose, they actually get higher charges because it resulted in an overdose. So there's been a few things here and there. But yeah, it's rampant. I don't think there's anybody in West Virginia that either hasn't had a family member or friend or an acquaintance that was addicted to opioids. Some still in addiction, some recovering, some not so much. I know I've lost a lot of people. I've known a lot of people. And it's really sad. And
it's truly a pandemic. And yes. You know, I don't think I could count the number of people that I've lost on my fingers and toes. And, you know, some of them are closer than others. You know, some of them are people that I've known for decades, you know. And, you know, as the name might suggest, we're not a big fan of law enforcement. And, I really feel like the solution isn't necessarily laws that are passed, but more a paradigm shift in people's morality and their worldview. That pushes them away from the compulsion to imbibe and that sort of thing.
I also agree. One of the things I've always said to people, and, you know, because they're like, oh, what's the solution? What's central? I was like, we need better mental health facilities. I said, 100%, we need more resources for mental health, because a lot of the people that are using these are using them to numb some sort of pain. And sometimes it's a physical pain, but a lot of times it's an emotional pain. There's something, some trauma that they've experienced that they don't want to face, and they're using whatever their vices is. There's people that drink that, you know, I'm sure many of us have been in the downtown bar scene or, you know, Huntington bars, whatever bar scenes, and you see those people that are out there and barely walking out of there at night because they're, it's the same thing as this. Yeah, it's all self-medication.
There's something wrong that they're trying to fix in themselves, and they're going about it in the worst possible way they could.
Yeah, and if you look at, like, because I've looked at the grant money that comes in for those, a lot of that money for treatment that, like, West Virginia gets goes to treatment in prison. Like, it's not as much
after it's already caused long-term damage to people's relationships and their lives. Then they want to try to fix it. But I agree with you. I think there needs to be better help with mental health issues, and not just in this area, but all over the place. And I think it's exasperated in our area just because of how impoverished it is here, you know?
Yes, because, you know, a lot of people, you know, that we have a lot of, I don't want to say a large homeless population, because, of course, there's homeless populations or unhoused populations that are much larger than ours, you know, like New York, California, they have because it's always warm, like that, you know, and I'm sure Florida especially, but we do have a population here, and, you know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, they kind of look down on them, and it's like, you don't know what got that person to that point.
Well, you know, a lot of people seem to think that, like, if you're homeless, you're just lazy, mm-hmm. you know, and that's really not the case, and I've been homeless before at different times in my life, and, you know, if you want to climb out of the gutter and do better for yourself, you know, you're able to. And most people that are able to don't stay homeless for very long. But the ones that, like, make it their lifestyle really don't have a lot of choice in a lot of cases, because they suffer from severe mental health issues. And there's no place for them.
They have no support system.
And there's a lot of, like, you know, homeless shelters, but they have rules. And a lot of those people, like, if you're a schizophrenic, you can't follow rules in a lot of cases. And unfortunately, that's the case for a lot of homeless people.
Well, and not even that, like, even down here, I mean, we've seen an uptick just because of the, you know, the heroin and the fentanyl and all that stuff. We've seen more and more and more.
Yeah, that's definitely a factor.
Yeah, that is an effect. But even before then, like, we would have people be turned away because they only have so many spots at the homeless shelters.
Sure.
They don't have enough places for everybody. So a lot of people, you know, even moms with kids sometimes get turned away because there's just no place for them to go. And people, I think it's because, you know, like you said, people look down on them, or, you know, try to put them, set themselves aside because they don't realize that, you know what, a few bad things happen to you and you could be right there too. You know, if you lose your job, can't find another job, how are you going to pay for food? How are you going to pay for your house? You know, how are you going to pay for these things? You're going to be right in the same spot. And I don't think people realize how close they could actually be. Just a few things go wrong.
Well, I think that's, you know, a lot of people have familial support for them. So, you know, if they do lose their job and they lose their home, well, they could always go live with mommy and daddy. You know what I mean?
If they have that.
That I was in that position. That's why I had to, you know, be homeless, because I didn't have that support base, especially here, because I'm not from here. I'm from Florida originally. You know, that's where all my family's from. And, you know, when I found myself in that position here, I didn't have anyone that I could go to and say, hey, I need a place to stay. You know what I mean? And thankfully for me, it wasn't a long-term thing. It was something I was able to overcome. But, you know, a lot of people, like, if they're suffering with active addiction, you know, you can't get a job and hold down a job because you're going to mess it up, you know. And then, like we mentioned earlier, the people that have, like, other mental health issues.
Yeah, and there are actually a lot. I'm sure most people that have, you know, been in downtown Charleston and run across some of the people that you see that are unhoused down here. There's a lot of them that do have mental conditions and just can't get the help that they need. Like I said, don't have the family support or friends or anything like that that can help them out, and they're just stuck. And a lot of them are even to such a mental state that they aren't capable of getting themselves out of that situation either.
Right.
They need help from somebody or some.
Well, I think they're used to, and this isn't like an area of expertise of mine or anything like that, but, you know, there used to be, like, you know, I guess you'd call them insane asylums, and mm-hmm. people that, like, didn't have any recourse, you know, or a family that would care for them when they were unable to care for themselves. If they had severe mental health issues, that's where they would go. And I think that they really just don't have those anymore.
No. And so because I do weird research, I like to know weird little tidbits of information here and there.
Not you.
Yes, me. So a lot of them got shut down because of,
weird experiments.
Nefarious issues and, you know, patients not being treated properly.
Lobotomies.
People getting institutionalized that really shouldn't have been. I mean, back in, like, if you look at it's like the guide to, like, mental health disorders. Like, if you look at back, like, in the 40s and stuff, like, if a woman spoke up against something, you know, or disagree with her husband. Like, she could be thrown in a mental institution.
That's wild.
Just for that. Like, it's the craziest things that would throw people in a mental institution. So, yeah, that, and there used to be a lot of, one thing, because I do genealogy, so I'm weird. But like I said, I like to research weird stuff. We used to also have poorhouses. So, yeah. Like, the impoverished, like, there was a fund that the county or whatever would pay, and they would pay so much per person at these poorhouses, and they would take care of the people that were homeless that end up, you know, their families would leave, or, you know, all their family had passed away and they were the only ones left. They would take care of these people that were impoverished. So we just don't have that anymore, unfortunately.
You always hear that expression, you know, my kid's going to put me in the poorhouse, right?
Yep. There actually used to be poorhouses. We had them here in West Virginia. Pretty much, as far as I know, every state's had them. I know, like, North Carolina had them. And like you said, they have the insane asylums, which, of course, what Weston is probably the one most of us know. There used to be one in Beckley. I think it got shut down. It wasn't, I don't think it was that long ago that it was shut down, but I think it did get shut down. But they were usually state-run. And
you know, I don't want to get, like, too political or anything, but, you know, we do send billions and billions and billions of dollars all over the world.
Yes.
And there are hungry, homeless people in our country that, you know, go without because, you know, we prioritize the wrong things, I think.
I'll tell you what is, I was reading a study, and again, weird things. I forgot how many, there's so many, like, religious organizations that are registered as, like, tax exempt and all that stuff. If every single one of the religious organizations that are tax exempt in the United States would send $1, they could pretty much feed everybody that's homeless. Like, it was crazy. Just $1. And I was just like, because of there's so many of them.
Yeah.
I mean, you throw a, it's kind of like I said, like lawyers downtown, you throw a rock out the window, you're bound to hit one.
And we all, you know, we all know how much, you know, the government needs more taxes. So.
But anyway, no comment on that. All right. I'm going to let you get back to the music. And this is WTSQ 88.1 FM in Charleston, West Virginia. I'm Jamie Lee. This is Radio Smut. And this next song is Landmarks with Blood Red. So I hope you enjoy. All right. That was Ginger with Fastdraw. We also had Vacuous with No Longer Human. Cryptosis with Reign of Infinite. Let's see. What else do we have here? Architects with Whiplash. We kind of got to talking here and time got away. So we have Acres with Bloodlust. Destruction with Destruction, Raging Speedhorn with Every Knight's Our Right for Fighting, and Landmarks with Blood Red. I believe that's where we started it off. I, of course, have Tom and Steve here with me from Violent Convictions. Thank you guys for joining me. It's been great having you. Going to wrap it up. I know you guys have, besides the April 1st show, you also have some other shows coming up. You want to talk about those?
Yeah, before April 1st, we've actually got a show in Ravenswood. It's AgriFest, and that is a huge show. It's going to have tons of awesome hardcore metal bands, and not just in West Virginia, but from, you know, other states as well. And big shout out to Paul Limley for putting that on. We're super excited about that. And then April 12th at the Blue Parrot, we've got a show coming up with, do you remember who's on that, Steve? I know Rockwell's Ghost. Those dudes are our buddies. I know they're on that bill. Let's see. Oh, I got it right here. Yeah, it's us, Rockwell's Ghost, Ghost Home, and our buddies in Civil Disgust. And that's April 12th at the Blue Parrot.
I think Ghost Home is out of Beckley, aren't they?
Ghost Home is actually
a different one
from here and Ripley area.
Okay.
That's Jason Boyles, which, by the way, if you need t-shirts printed, hit up Jason at Ink Dungeon Printing, and he'll get you hooked up, but not before Agrofest, because he's out of time to print more shirts before then. So.
That makes sense. He's probably been busy.
Oh, yeah. And he did a, you know, we did a Stop McSnitching shirt. And, you know, that was for our boy Luigi, if anybody knows what I'm talking about there. And he did a great job with that. Stop McSnitching. And it's a cool parody shirt. We haven't received any cease and desist letters yet, so we're gonna keep doing it until we do.
Well, Nonpoint had that McDonald's looking shirt for like years, I think.
I mean,
because it actually had the McDonald's arch kind of, but it's Nonpoint. Yeah, so I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see. We haven't got one yet, so we'll keep rolling with it until we do.
All right. Well, thank you guys for coming on. And of course, when you guys get ready to put the album out, or if you want to talk about another upcoming show, you can always come on. You're more than welcome. Awesome. You're on Radio Smut. So
thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
You're very welcome. I'm Jamie Lee. This has been Radio Smut. We do have some more songs coming up for you. We've got Lacuna Coil, Freeze Machine, Edge of Paradise, a new song from them, Give It to Me with Mind Assassin featuring Ben V. Ludovico. We have Breaker with Babylon, Bonnie Trash, a new one from her with them, Veil of Greed. And hopefully, if it's time, it might get cut. I'm not sure, because we do have a rollover at a certain point where it goes back into automation. But we have Billy Idol with Still Dancing, Dropkick Murphys with Two Sixes Upside Down, and a song, it's kind of an Americana song with by Dustin Brown. And the song is Burn. So I hope you guys enjoy your night. Stay safe out there, and make sure to get home safe if you've been out and about. So till next week, I'm Jamie Lee, and here's the music.